Bill, great job. I noticed you had to change things around a little bit while when we first started sometimes, because sometimes we didn't start exactly when we were supposed to. But you know, that's okay, because like I said, it's from the heart. Our praise goes up from the heart and blesses God, and He sends His blessing down to us on that. What's that say, 1 o'clock? No, 11 o'clock. Had you worried, didn't I? Had me worried, because I'm heading to Phoenix right after church. I haven't really done a whole lot in preparation, but I had something I'm going to share, and that's what it is. Basically, it's nothing speaks better than the Word of God, and that's what I'm sharing. I had some things that I put together a few months ago, just in case I needed something like this for a case like this. And so that's what we have. Lord, we thank You. We thank You once again for today, Lord. We thank You once again for Your presence here. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word endures and Your Word is true and Your Word speaks to our hearts, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that You'd continue, Lord, to deal with us as You do, Lord, and just whatever we need, Lord, whatever we need, You provide. Lord, bless Your Word today. Open up heaven for us and bless Your people, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke 24:13-27. I'm going to be all over the scriptures because that's basically what I'm using today. So keep up as best you can, I guess. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. That's about 15 miles, by the way. I had to look it up. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, that they did not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, this and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said. But Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. I would imagine that would have taken a long time, because the entire Bible is about Jesus Christ. Now, when the disciples in the book of Acts shared the gospel, what part of the Bible did they share? The only part they had was the Old Testament. Jesus says all the scriptures. John 5:39 was our opening scripture. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm going to share some examples. And that's where I'm going to share some examples. We'll see. Psalm 22, 1 through 21. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you, delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusts in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I read that from the New King James Version. That's one that I had memorized years ago, and somehow I just can't. I would have tripped all over it if I had tried to read that. And there's going to be another one, too, that's also true about that. But what did that passage speak to you? Or what do you see in that passage? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that was written 1,000 years before it happened. Back when crucifixion wasn't necessarily a penalty. They stoned in those days, in the times of David. But that's from Psalms 22. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Psalm 41, 9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Anybody know who that's talking about? Actually, it's talking about two people. One of them is Judas. Isaiah 53. Actually, I'm going to start in Isaiah 52:13. And this also will be from the New King James Version. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths in him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil of the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That would be me. We all can say that, can't we? You know, the Jewish people, they say that's about Israel. That's their argument. That's about Israel. Israel did not die for anybody's sins. Israel was not nailed to the cross for anybody's sins. Jesus Christ. And once again, that was written 700 years or so before Jesus died on the cross. Talks about his motive, doesn't it? Talks about his love. He did it for us. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, among the cloud of witnesses is the witness of his word. And because of his word and because of what he did for us, set aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Do we do that for salvation? No, we don't do it for salvation. We do it because we have salvation. We do it out of love for him, because what he did for us was pretty extreme, wasn't it? What does he want from us? He wants from us what he deserves. He wants all of us. Yeah, I came to realize a long time ago that God wouldn't ask us to do anything or have us do anything or allow anything in our lives that he wouldn't do himself. He's kind of proven that, hasn't he? Gave his only son. We've suffered losses like that sometimes. Some of us have. And maybe we can blame God, but yet God can say, "Well, I did it for you." Because God has a plan and a purpose for everything. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I talked about that a little bit, I think it was last week or the week before. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And once again, I'll say it again, that joy that was set before him was us. His love for us is so strong and so great. He went to the cross and he also stayed there. "For consider him that endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and discouraged in your souls." What this is saying is, he endured it, so that means we have to endure too, don't we? Or we're supposed to. "Because ye have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin." It says you haven't yet. Who knows what's going to happen? God does. And he's got his hand on everything, doesn't he? He's got his hand on every one of us. He knows the plans he has for us. Plans of good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. We have to keep looking towards that future, that hope. Because this isn't going to last forever, is it? Some of us are getting older. This life doesn't last very long. God is good. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you did for us and everything you do for us. We thank you also for everything you're going to do for us. That we do have a future. That you do have a plan for us. We thank you, Lord, most of all, that you went to that cross and you endured it for us, for each one of us. Paul said in Romans, and again in 1 Corinthians, or maybe a second, anyway, one of the Corinthians, he talked about the one that Christ died for. In Romans, it says, don't destroy with your food the one that Christ died for. The one. It's individual. It's corporate. It's all of your people. But it's individual with each one of us, that if we were the only person to have ever lived, you still would have done it for us. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible, incredible love. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today and be with your people, Lord, and just bless us. And Lord, I pray once again for continued healing for Linda and for others, Lord, that are suffering. And I thank you, Lord, for the joy that you placed in her heart, Lord, with everything she's going through. Lord, be with your people and keep us safe and keep us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.